Hi, this is Doug Gray of the Marshall Tucker Band. Always keep your eyes open for motorcycles. This message is brought to you by my buddies at Long Island Abate.
Your Island, live and local, with your host, Tom Shalero, on 103.9 LI News Radio.
And once again, welcome back as we round third, heading up to the 2 o'clock hour. Now, this segment of our program is being brought to you by the great motorcycle rights and safety advocacy group, Long Island Abate. American Bikers for Awareness, Training, and Education promotes safety on our roads for the 2- and 3-wheeled rider to ensure automobile drivers look and see and know that motorcycles are everywhere. They promote training, common sense laws, attend court proceedings to ensure justice for those involved in motorcycle accidents where a driver is drunk, distracted, or recklessly careless. Call Abate President Jim Barr at 1-888-LI-ABATE or visit the website longislandabate.org. Now, also, Eastern Portable X-Ray Corporation, I have to mention them, 800-684-5800. Could you imagine your doctor orders medical services such as an X-ray, EKG, an ultrasound? Well, they have a slogan, we travel, not the patient. All our veterans are now covered under a new Trump administration law that says the veterans are covered for these type of policies and these type of services. In the meantime, all insurances take this. It's Eastern Portable X-Ray Corporation. They come to you. They do the X-ray. You never have to leave your house. You never have to go to a doctor's office and fill out those forms or whatever. It's all done for you. And the doctor gets the report within minutes. This is it. 800-684-5800. Eastern Portable X-Ray Corporation. EPXray.com. I'll tell you what a great, great organization. Now, we're going to finish up this segment. We'll be taking your phone call, 631-451-1039. 631-451-1039. And just talking a little bit about the DACA. I got a lot of good comments by our listeners when we think that this could be an effort by the White House to get Congress moving on that. Because people looked at this, and the demonstrations, by the way, in New York City yesterday, 30 people were arrested protesting the President of the United States in his rescission of DACA, of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And as we all know, this is for children who were brought here by parents who were not documented, who were here illegally through no fault of their own. And these children pretty much don't know another country. They were here. They were raised here. They went through school here. They learned English. In fact, many of them don't even know the language of their homeland, and gone through college. And the DACA was signed by President Obama in 2012, essentially legitimizing them and saying, apply for a visa, a work visa, and apply for a student visa. And you can go through the whole process, get a driver's license, get a Social Security card. Well, the announcement yesterday that this was going to be done away with brought a lot of people out on the streets, particularly in New York City, and put a hardship on the police department. They had to go out. They had to arrest people who were practicing what they call civil disobedience, essentially breaking the law and, you know, impeding traffic or, you know, whatever else they do. In the meantime, it may not be what it seems. It may not be this cold-hearted effort, as these protesters were saying, by the president to kick 800,000 people out, who would be the least of the concern of the American people. 90% of the American people support this deferred action. And so I'm just wondering if we should give this some thought as to what the motivation is of the president. A lot of people called on, 631-451-1039. In the meantime, it does put a burden upon the police department when people hit the streets like this. And in many cases, you know, whether these are sincere protests, whether they have been thought out before they hit the streets on what is the objective here. And when you have members of the United States Senate now, Lindsey Graham included, saying that they'll come up with a program within the next 30 days in the U.S. Senate, then obviously this is a good start in the right direction, because this cannot be legislated through executive order. It cannot be. It has to be done through a Congress or come up with immigration policy or health care policy, which is another thing that's been stalled. So these are our concerns of what we're talking about right now, and the fact that many of us have an opinion about this. And these opinions are not oriented towards those people here, undocumented, that may have committed crimes. That's our subset. That's the group that we need to kick out. And I think we all agree on that. I don't think there's any even question about it. Our number here is 631-451-1039. Take our first caller of the segment. That's Bruce over there in Wading River. Bruce, you're on the air.
Yeah, you know, I've been listening to this, and I don't think anybody gets the real motivation to it.
Okay.
The problem with the legislation, or it wasn't really legislation when Obama signed.
It was an order. It wasn't even legislation.
It's a blanket ticket. I mean, it has nothing to do with merit. I mean, somebody could be an MS-13 member, and if they fall within the proper category, they're in the program.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, if they grew up here and they decided not to go to college and not to be what they called a dreamer, so to speak, but to commit crimes because they had a heritage, yeah, you might be right about that, Bruce. You might be right.
I think that's what's on Trump's mind.
Yeah, okay. I just think that he has a secret motivation is to get Congress to do something, and that this was the way in which he did by shock and awe, so to speak. I'm going to shock you, Congress. I'm going to do away with that, and we're going to target these 800,000 people, which I don't think he really is doing. But
I don't think so either.
But I think he's getting them now to pay attention. Witness Lindsey Graham yesterday, a leader of the U.S. Senate, saying, for the most part, we are now going to deal with this in the next 30 days. I would be shocked if they did, but I'm glad he said it, because now he put himself under the gun. Think about it.
So, all right, well, thank you.
Yeah, no, Bruce, thanks for calling in. 631-451-1039. People are weighing in, and, you know, we're raising the issue. Did the president do this, a particularly unpopular decision, because he really didn't mean to do this, but he meant to get Congress moving on it? And the best way to get Congress to pay attention to an issue is to essentially put it upon them by saying that we're erasing an executive order. These individuals now can no longer, when their visas expire that they received under DACA, that when their work and student visas expire, they now will be back into the category of here illegally. And many Republicans and Democrats, probably Democrats 100%, Republicans probably for the most part, most of them, don't want to be in a position where they're telling children that were raised here and that essentially have gone through the American system and have become Americanized that they have to leave. And I think that's an important concept to remember here. And as we move forward with this. So interesting enough, we're looking at 30 days as a time limit for them to come up with legislation in order to deal with this. And I'm hoping, and I'm just hoping, that they come up with legislation to deal with the entire problem. And that maybe, just maybe, if you think about it, if they start to deal with the entire 11 million, that maybe they can put some resources to remove those individuals that are committing crimes and are burdening our criminal justice system. And that's where I think the effort should be. And I think most Americans agree with that. And that if we can come up with a way in which to make individuals out of here 10, 11 years that are working hard to become fruitful citizens, paying into the system, whether it's federal income taxes, whether it's Social Security taxes or what have you, and that they become a part of the tax base that all of us are. I think that's a key component of this whole thing. So maybe I'm wishing for too much, but maybe I'm not. 631-451-1039. It certainly has dominated the talk shows, this issue, and it certainly has dominated the morning news shows also, and the way in which this is done. And I referenced yesterday a protest in New York City that certainly put a further burden on the New York City Police Department in keeping peace and order, that when individuals hit the streets and they block traffic and they throw things at the police and so on, that maybe they're a little misinformed, that they need to look at this close enough. And was this an effort to remove people from this country? And it's not. And I'm going to say that it's not. And and anybody protesting should realize that. But on the other hand, you have people that are professional protesters, and they would like to essentially do whatever they can against what could be a movement to get the Congress to do anything. If you're going to protest anything, just protest the Congress. They don't do that. They tend to focus in on the president. And in some cases, maybe they have a legitimate gripe. But in other cases, they really don't. So, you know, we're seeing too much of this. 631-451-1039. The other thing is I wanted to reference something we spoke about back in November. It was one of the police tragedies, Paul Tuzillo. Paul was 41 years old. He was a 19-year veteran of the New York City Police Department. He was from Greenlawn. And that when this story happened on November 4th, we spent some time talking about it. Paul, a lifelong Long Islander, working as a sergeant with the New York City Police Department, was shot while he was responding to a 911 call about a disturbance at the Bronx home of the gunman's estranged wife. And this was a particularly bad tragedy. I mean, he had, you know, Long Island, we could all relate to him, young family, you know, a couple of kids, and, you know, received high honors as a result of him giving the ultimate sacrifice. And as we do on this program, whenever there's a fallen officer, we pay tribute to him, his department, and more important, to his family that he's left behind, because he's given that ultimate sacrifice. So one of the nice things that took place yesterday was the first day of school over there on Greenlawn, and 30 officers from his precinct, all in uniform, came out from New York City, and they walked his son to school on his first day of school, something that his dad would have done. And I just thought that that's the true meaning and passion of the brotherhood and sisterhood of being a police officer, to show that they were there for him and his spirit and so on. I just thought that was a great thing that they did, the NYPD did, for a brother officer. So I just wanted to make mention of that. Let's take some calls. We got Bud over there in Calverton. Bud, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm doing just great. Thanks for calling.
Good. So, listen, I've been thinking about this thing with Trump and why he did this.
Okay, good.
And of course, it's his job to do this. His job as president is to enforce the laws and the Constitution.
Yes.
And the legislators and Congress to write the laws.
Exactly.
Well,
we learned that in social studies, remember, Bud?
Exactly. Right.
Exactly.
So here's the deal. Obama, you know, put this order through, and he knew it was wrong, and he knew it was against the law, and nobody did anything about it, because that's the way things were going in the Obama administration. They were turning us into like a banana republic where the executive made the laws and made all the decisions. Well, Trump just threw this back in Congress's hands to get it straightened out. He knows it's unpopular.
Yes.
And we can't only enforce the laws that we feel uncomfortable with. We have to enforce them all.
Exactly.
And he's doing the right thing.
And basically, he's an executive branch he's supposed to execute. That's it. To enforce,
exactly.
As you just said.
He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, and he's doing the right thing for these young people who deserve a chance. But let's do it legally, everything else.
You know, yesterday I didn't say this, and I'm hesitant to say it right now, but maybe this maneuver on his part, and I'm going to use this word, was genius. What else can I say?
It is genius.
If you think about it. I hesitated to say that, but I'm going to say it now. I'm going to say it now.
It takes the onus off of him, and it throws it right back
where it belongs.
Where the Congress should have done this when Obama did this, you know, in
2012,
unjust or, you know, unlawful way.
Good one. All right, Bud, thank you for your phone call. Really do appreciate it. Now we've got Brian over there in Center Reach. Brian, you're on the air.
Hey, Tom, first, God bless all the police, military, and firemen out there keeping us safe.
Thank you. Thank you.
No problem. I want to do like a small analogy, situational explanation for this whole immigration thing. I mean, it's almost like, you know, if I bring my kid to the movie theater, you know, if I don't have a ticket for my son, they're not going to let him in.
No.
And what's happening is, you know, for a long time, you know, the middle class of America and people that went and got legalized the right way and took the time and spent the money, we're all paying for this problem. And you know, Robert De Niro's not taking care of the situation, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, these social elites, you know, it's nice for their image to you know, you know, hey, I care about these people. I have two friends that are illegal, and it's sad. I'd like to get them over here,
okay,
you know, legalized. But you got to do it the right way.
Exactly.
And what DACA has done, it's created this, like, loophole thing where, you know, we're seeing it's a real issue, and it does need to be dealt with. And I'm glad that the president is doing it. I just think it's sad that these bleeding heart liberals and everybody on the other side just continually throw mud in his face. I'm really starting to get tired of it.
Well, you know it is, and you know, you raise a good point, is that any excuse by the left, any excuse to go after this president, they will. And I think now they may end up with egg on their face, because in a month or two time, if legislation is passed to deal with some comprehensive immigration reform, they're going to look silly for their protests against the president, and they're speaking out, if you think about it.
No, it has to get buttoned up, and the situation needs to be taken care of. I mean, it's an ongoing situation. It's a delicate thing. You know, nobody wants to see, you know, a kid that was raised here his whole life and doesn't know
exactly.
Mexico or doesn't speak the language. And you know, we don't want to see that. We don't want to see him go back.
Exactly.
But at the same time, all this time, we have been paying for his medical care. We have been paying for his schooling. And you know what? I don't make a lot of money,
no,
Tom.
And then
you know, the Social Security part of it, like that's a whole other egg that I don't even want to get into with you. But it's like, us as hardworking Americans, we don't have a lot.
We don't have a lot.
And to sit there and take that pie and divide it up amongst people that aren't doing the right thing for whatever reason, it's not right.
Exactly.
And it needs to be taken care of. It needs to be delicate. I get it. That's fine. You know, we have a heart. But let's take care of this right now.
And let's let the Congress to take care of it, because that's what we elect them to do. And
exactly.
Brian.
Exactly. Congress needs to start doing something.
Exactly. You're a wise man, Brian. Thanks for your phone call. I appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
Let's take... Kevin over there in Eastport. Kevin, you're on the air. Did I lose you?
No, Kevin.
We lost Kevin. Okay. In the meantime, I'll tell you that people have some passionate viewpoints on this when we think about it. And everybody raises a good point. If we can take a segment of the population, 800,000 people, for argument's sake, a segment of the population, and make them fruitful citizens, which means do what we all do, have a job. Pay Social Security, pay Medicare, because we all pay a Medicare tax. Let's not forget that, in addition to Social Security. Pay a federal income tax, which we do, and become productive citizens and pay their fair share of the piece of the pie, as we just heard from one of our wise callers. Then I think that's the way in which we should look at this and the way in which we should proceed. And if this action by the president, and let's hope, with fingers crossed, that the Congress will act, that the Senate says they're going to act in 30 days, which means that the House of Representatives will have to do the same thing, because if they don't, we as the American people should make them hear it. You know, they've been a disappointment. This particular Congress that we all elected last November has been a great disappointment. And they're up again in November of 2018, another 14 or 15 months from now. And we should all keep it in mind that if they're not going to get that job done and deal with these very, very important issues, whether it be health care, which we've seen nothing, and now immigration reform, which has to happen. And I'm hoping the action taken yesterday has raised enough eyebrows where people are going to say we need to deal with this problem. And I'm not just talking about the 800,000 that essentially were raised here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about everybody in which to deal with this situation, so that it's better not only for the 11 million, but more so for the American people. And then, of course, then to deal with 100% accuracy and 100% efforts going against those individuals that are here to commit crimes, to deal drugs, to join gangs, as we've seen here in Suffolk County locally, the gang problem, the drug problem, that if we can orient all of our efforts towards that, then we are successful, and that this particular action can finally move in the right direction. This was the theme of what all of the calls, we got you know, quite a number of phone calls in the last hour on this, and that's what most of the people are saying, almost to a T, and that nobody wants to see people deported who are working hard and paying into the system. But we do want to see the people deported that are here to take the system away from us, and I'm talking about those individuals that are committing crimes. And that obviously, if you're committing these type of crimes in this country, you're going to have to stay here in jail. But until such time you're released from jail, then you need to be deported. And that I know Congressman Lee Zeldin has a pretty good bill that if you're here and you're deported and you come back, then there's a mandatory jail sentence. I read something very briefly about that. I'm sure that's somewhat accurate, but I like the fact that a second deportation results in a mandatory jail sentence. And I think that jail sentence in federal prison for a long time is a good effort. And I believe Congressman Zeldin had proposed that. It was in response to a Greenport woman that was murdered, I believe, about a month ago by an individual who was here illegally and who had been deported already once, came back into the country, and he committed murder. And that happened right here on Long Island. So as a result of that, Congressman Lee Zeldin, who represents the 1st Congressional District, mostly the east end of Long Island and also going into the northern parts of Suffolk County all the way to Smithtown, came out with this particular piece of legislation. Excellent, excellent piece of legislation, and we'll see which way that goes. Well, believe it or not, we are out of time. We're at the 2 o'clock hour. That means don't move the dial. Breaking It Down with the great Frank McKay. Listen to Frank's show. Frank has got some great people on that show. I'll tell you, what a great show to listen to. In the meantime, I've been your host, Tom Shalero. You've been listening to 103.9 LI News Radio, Your Island, the award-winning Your Island. And we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is our Eye on Crime segment. Have a great day. Everybody be safe.
I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York.